Well, amen and good morning. I'll tell you, I was thinking as Brother Aaron almost insisted that I would come and preach, and I kept saying, no. I mean, you know, your pastor's awesome. Pastor Aaron is such a blessing to so many people. Not only my wife and I, but my extended family, my sons, and my church in Green River. When Aaron Young is speaking at Red Cliff Bible Camp, we're loading up and we're going. And I kept thinking, you know, I'm just not worthy to even be here. He's a far better speaker than I am. This is an awesome church. And God has reminded me this morning that I needed to be here. The music's wonderful. Thank you so much for that. Coffee and donuts this morning. Brother Bob's class. Two things about Brother Bob's class this morning. One is, I'm preaching, if you'll allow me to come back, maybe after this morning say, you know, well, we'll see. I'm preaching out of Colossians tonight. One of my favorite characters, Tychicus, we'll be looking at him tonight. But Brother Bob weighs less than I do. He said he is 160 pounds of dirt. I weigh 163. And I looked at my wife and I said, yes, you know, I weigh more than somebody this morning. It was a wonderful Sunday school class. It's a joy to be here with you folks. You're so kind. Beautiful building, beautiful facility. I just want to thank the Lord for the opportunity to be here. Brother Aaron, as I said, has been such a blessing to our church, to my family, wife and I. I have three sons who are married, and I have seven grandkids, one in heaven, and they all live in Wyoming. My daughter's a freshman at Bob Jones right now. But my boys have learned to love Pastor Young and his challenges as well. And so my desire this morning simply is that I hope I can return that favor and be a blessing to you as he has been such a blessing to us. I'm sorry that he's not here this morning. I missed his fellowship. I was thinking about just sitting here until he comes. I think we're streaming live. And so if you're listening, brother, we're not going to do anything until you walk in the back door. Okay? And we'd love to see him. There's no doubt about it. Somebody kept saying, what do you need, Pastor York? Is there something we can do for you? What do you need? I just figured it out. As I read in the bulletin right here, it says, our Sunday services are broadcast live over the internet and may be watched at, I need a tranquilizer. Does anybody have any extra pills here this morning? So we appreciate your pastor. Many of you I know, we meet up at Red Cliff and that. It's good to see you again. Of course, Brother DuPont, we've known him. I just asked him earlier, I said, do you remember, did I ever change your diaper? And I've known him since he was just a little guy. Before his dad ever was married, his dad, Mark DuPont, was under my tutelage, I guess you might say, through a church internship program in Greenville, South Carolina, under Dr. John Vaughn. I was a director of that in his church, and Mark DuPont was one of my students, and so that goes back a ways as well. But it's just so good, and congratulations to the DuPonts on soon to have their first baby. That's wonderful. Thank you, ladies, for the music. It was a tremendous blessing. We appreciate that very much. A little bit about me, it's like, who is this character that's here in our church? My name is Ted York. I pastored for almost 30 years. I did just retire from Green River Bible Baptist Church in Green River, Wyoming. On May 24th was my last Sunday. They just called a new pastor, and so we're excited about that. I was with Northwest Baptist Missions for several years. In fact, early on, Dr. Wally Higgins and I traveled to Elko. We met here. Because Wally Higgins would say, would you be willing to come to Elko? And I preached in a Girl Scout place, I believe it was, and actually spoke on the radio and all that sort of thing. And, well, it must not have been the Lord's will because I ended up in Wyoming, where I am from. I'm so glad to have my lovely wife here with me, Teresa. Some 35, 37 years of marriage, somewhere in there. And she is embarrassed this morning. Not to be with me, thank goodness, but she had foot surgery recently, and she's wearing Crocs to church this morning. So now everybody's going to be looking at her feet, but she feels very embarrassed about wearing a pair of Crocs to church because of that foot surgery. But we're glad to have, I'm glad that Teresa could be with me here this morning as well. You know, I started a Christian school. That's where we worked a lot with this church early on when they had a Christian school as well. Our Christian school is still in existence there. It's celebrating its 21st year I started that school and, well, 21 years ago. And so we were tied with Elko for a long time through the Christian school movement as well. But I just trust and pray that the Lord will allow me to be an encouragement and blessing to you this morning, and that your hearts will be challenged. And I want to thank you again for allowing me the opportunity to be here this morning. What I'd like to do this morning is I'd like to look at a passage in the book of Philippians. In Philippians chapter 3 this morning, that's where we're going to be. Philippians chapter 3 this morning, I'd like to read those few verses and then we'll pray and we'll jump right into this, okay? Philippians chapter 3 this morning, verse 17. So Philippians chapter 3 this morning, verse 17. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, the Bible says this, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, but they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue the things unto himself." Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this chance to come together here this morning. Lord, what a privilege it is for me to even be here, to stand here. We do pray for Pastor Young this morning, and we're sorry that he's not feeling well. Lord, help him to get his rest and to get back on his feet and continue to in the work that you've called him to do. Lord, my wife and I are grateful to be in the midst of this great church here, these fine folks. Please, Lord, bless them this morning. Stir our hearts. May the Holy Spirit of God have free work in our midst here this morning. Lord, would you help me to be a blessing? Lord, may what we say this morning bring honor and glory to you. May I be excited about what you'd have for me to say, and may I be a blessing. Help me, I pray, this morning. Stir our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, as you read this book, a book of Philippians, which you are probably very familiar with, you'll find that the Apostle Paul opens this section of the book of Philippians, and he's warning these Christians. And he's warning them of these Judaizers that we read about here in the Bible, these false teachers. These were the individuals that were, you know, coming behind the Apostle Paul. They were coming behind his ministry, and they were trying to pull people away from the amazing grace of God. And so Paul writes to them, and he wants to encourage them, and he wants them to remember, hey, remember those things that I taught you, okay? He wants to encourage them to go forward. He says, I don't want you to go backwards in your Christian life. I want you to go forward in your Christian walk. And so here's the Apostle Paul speaking to them with a man that has authority. He's an apostle. Here's the Apostle Paul speaking to this church in Philippi as the one that founded that church in Philippi. Here's the Apostle Paul speaking to the church in Philippi as somebody who is under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. Okay? But in many respects, he is speaking to them as a guide. Okay? And he's telling them, hey, walk here. Hey, don't walk over there. You better watch out. You better be careful. Hey, go over here, but don't go over there. And he's saying, you know what? You need to just be careful. He's telling them that. And so the Apostle Paul is trying to help that church to come through the very traps that the devil has laid out for them. Okay? You know what I've learned? That when you're in an area that's unfamiliar to you, I'm an avid outdoorsman. I hunt, I fish, I do all of that. I use it for ministry. In fact, that's why I have facial hair. I do not cut this off till I finally harvest my elk. That's important to me, okay? So as you know, I have not done that yet, okay? But this year, I have been in four different areas on an elk hunt, okay? Trying to harvest that elk. The Lord has placed some opportunities for me, but I blew them, okay? And three of those areas I was not familiar with, and I had a friend, a Christian friend, a brother in Christ, said, hey, come with me. You know, I'm 90% positive you'll get an elk here. Well, I'm going, okay? And I had a guide, somebody to show me along the way. And that's very helpful. Wouldn't you agree? You know, it's just like that in the Christian life. Think about it with me this morning. It is very helpful to have someone who's been there before in the Christian life, isn't it? It's helpful to have somebody, hey, come alongside. You say, you know what? I remember one time I went through a deep trial. Let me share with you what we did to get through that. Or maybe, you know what? I remember when the devil was trying to hurt our marriage. And let me tell you what we did in order to keep our marriage together. You know, it's a blessing to have the counsel of the Word of God to guide us through the challenging times that we live in right now. The Holy Spirit, our guide, God's Word, our guide this morning, helps us to avoid those pitfalls that could come into our lives. And sometimes God even uses godly men, amen? And God uses godly women that come into our lives and guide us along the way in life's journey of this Christian walk. So question this morning, how can you and I this morning, how can we enjoy this guided Christian walk that God has laid out for us in the Word of God? How can we do that today? Well, Paul says, first of all, what you need to do is you need to follow after the faithful. Amen to that? Faithful men. You know the song? Maybe you do. We sing it at Christian school all the time. Faithful men, follow after them. And that's what Paul is saying here. He says, I want you as a church to follow us who've already been there. I want you as a church to follow us who've already been through the battle. I want you as a church to follow us who've already been through the struggles and the challenges and the trials. Maybe you've been there. Maybe you've been through some situation in your life where folks have just tried to trip you up concerning your faith. Maybe you're experiencing trial in your life right now, this morning, right here and now. And here the Apostle Paul says, hey, wait, let me encourage you then. Let me encourage you this morning to follow after some who are faithful. In verse 17, do you see that? Brethren, be followers together of me, he says there. This is an exhortation to you and I to be followers. And so Paul speaks to them, my friend, this morning in a wonderful term. Did you notice that? The first word, brethren. I love that term. Brother Aaron. You know? Brother Bob. I love the term brother. And he says, brethren. You know what that is an expression of? It's an expression of affection. Hey, brother, how you doing? It's an expression of, hey, we've got something in common, don't we? A common denominator, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. You see? And expresses that. And what that tells us this morning is that Paul is about to give a command. He's not suggesting this morning in this passage that they might just consider being followers. Or he's not suggesting that maybe if they just wanted to, that they could maybe look his way. If you feel like it, won't you just come my direction? That's not happening at all. Did you notice, brother, and what? B. English majors. Maybe not English. You know what that is? That's a verb, isn't it? Okay? And so he says, brethren, with affection and love. He says, be, he says there. He says, that is a verb. That is an imperative. Okay? And what that tells us is that Paul is about to give a command. He's not suggesting again. Okay? He's commanding, be followers. Okay? Come follow. What's Paul saying? Paul says, you know what? I'll tell you what. I'll lead you through this doctrinal challenge you're up against right now. Paul says, I'll help you, I'll lead you, I'll guide you through these challenges that are in your life now there in Philippi under Roman government and hyper-taxing situations and all those kind of things and through persecutions. You know, some folks get a little nervous about that kind of a challenge. Come follow me. You'll get a little worked up about that, but I'll tell you what, the more you study it, the more you realize that's a very deep challenge in the Word of God. Notice, brethren, be followers together. That word followers, you know what that means? It means an imitator. It means an imitator. Speaking about basketball, brother Eamon. Okay? It's like a coach, you know, and a coach will, you know, guide you through maybe a pick and roll. And then he'll say, now you imitate that. This is what a pick and roll looks like. Now you imitate that. Okay? We call it modeling or maybe discipleship or maybe mentoring. And what's Paul saying? Paul says, you know what? I want to set the example, and I want you to imitate that. I want to lead you through this problem. I want to lead you through this difficulty. I want to be a blessing to you. Now, folks, let me help you this morning. Please mark it down. Mark it down. If you are under the influence of a man who bounces from church to church, or if you are under the influence of a woman who moves from one relationship to another, or if you are under the influence of someone who just doesn't finish, if you are under the influence of somebody who just majors in gossip, can I tell you something? I guarantee it, you will not finish. It won't happen. It will not happen, okay? And Paul says what? Be a follower. Let me help you through this.
Paul says, hey, be an imitator. Paul says, I'm being an imitator in this case. And in this case, who is it? It's the Apostle Paul who would die a martyr's death. You know, someone says, or maybe you've heard it said, well, I tell you what, I ain't going to follow no man. Ain't no man going to tell me what to do. Ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. Except maybe my wife. You see? In fact, you will find that Paul said this over and over again. Let me show you just a quick instance this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 with me this morning. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, I forgot my glasses, man. I'll tell you what, I'm having a hard time seeing things here. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, that's why I was struggling with the reading of God's Word a minute ago. It was kind of fogging out on me a little bit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and in verse 16, it says, wherefore, Paul says, I beseech you, what? Be ye followers of me. Look at verse 17. For this cause have I sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Often Paul spoke of, follow me as I have followed Christ. Hebrews chapter 13, speaking of the office of a pastor. To the churches there among the Hebrews. What were they, in this context, they were admonished to find a pastor, and quote, whose faith follow, unquote. The fact of the matter is, my friend, this morning, primarily we do not follow men. I'm not pushing man worship here this morning. Not at all, okay? This is not man worship. That's not what we're talking about. But as we are all here collectively this morning to follow Christ, that's why we're here, to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. See, my responsibility is to point you to Jesus Christ this morning. And we cannot, please, we cannot, because of the failure of men, negate the importance of personal relationships, you see? And so Paul says, hey, brethren, be followers of me, he says there in that verse. I'll tell you, God gives us good examples, does he not? He does. Wonderful men and women who are just godly and just, they're awesome and they love the Lord and they're, you know, they're filled with joy and happiness and peace and the Holy Spirit of God is controlling their lives and they're such a tremendous blessing to the church and to your family and to you. Okay? God gives us good examples and we are commanded to follow, but we are not going to undermine that. The fact is that first and foremost, we are to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he is the author and finisher of our faith. So we are to be led by the Spirit. We look to Jesus. We're led by the Holy Spirit of God. We are following the Word of God. I'll tell you, that's the guided walk, isn't it? Hey, can you turn with me to Acts chapter 20 this morning? In Acts chapter 20, you know, this whole idea that we're talking about here right now is only about a quarter of the equation, of the entire equation. It's all about following the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 20, look what the Apostle Paul says in Acts chapter 20 this morning. In Acts chapter 20 and in verse 32. In Acts chapter 20, verse 32, the Apostle Paul says this, and now, brethren, there's that term of affection again, in Acts chapter 20, verse 32, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Do you see that with me? Let me ask you a question. In that passage, in the context of that, does the Apostle Paul recognize the headship of God over the flock at Ephesus? Amen. He sure does, doesn't he? He sees that. Paul was not pointing them to himself. Paul was pointing them to God's Word. He was pointing them to the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, he knew that his time was short. So what's he doing? He's commending the church to the Lord. He's commending them to God. He wasn't on some ego trip by saying, hey, come follow me. Yeah. Come follow me. No, he wasn't on that kind of a trip. Not at all. Okay? His sole objective was what? To help them follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, can I say something this morning? I really believe that a spiritual leader, whether he's in the home or in the church, has every opportunity and has within the parameters of New Testament Christianity to say, hey, come and follow me as I follow Christ. He can say that, as I follow Christ, okay? I mean, a dad, hey, son, come follow me as I follow Christ, you see? I mean, dads, don't you want your sons to look up at you and say, you know, I don't want to be like my dad. He reminds me of Jesus. Amen. Yeah. You see? We have this exhortation to follow. Now, I'll tell you what, I've studied leadership, and God's given me many opportunities. I've served on city council in my town in Green River for 8 years, and I've traveled the United States for political reasons. I've been to Washington, D.C. I've spoken the Capitol. I've done all kinds of things like that, and God's given me a lot of opportunities. And I've studied leadership, and I've read books on leadership, okay? I've taken classes on leadership. I still got some things to learn. I understand that. But you know what? I've learned one principle along the way. Is you will not lead until you learn to follow. It's not going to happen. Okay? I mean, I've talked with folks who have said, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to no church that's going to try to interrupt my life. I'm not going to go to no church that's going to try to tell me where to go and where not to go, what to do and what not to do. I'm not going to go to that kind of church. Wait a minute. I'll tell you, by the way, this book shouldn't interrupt your life. You can say amen. Go ahead. Yeah, this book should not interrupt your life. Not at all, my friend. You know what the problem is? I found out as many times that folks that talk that way and think that way, they're just not willing to follow. Okay? They want to be in charge. I'll tell you what. The folks that run around saying, no one's going to tell me what to do, they're fighting something in here. I'm the man of this house. The Bible says you are to submit unto me. The pastor even said that this morning. You are to submit unto me. I'm the man of this house. You see, something wrong with that. Submitting one to another. Doesn't it say that in that passage right before it talks about the husband-wife relationship? You know, I'm just simply saying, I mean, no, you want to, but you find someone who is maturing in the Lord. You find someone who loves the Lord. No, they don't want to be ramrodded, do they? You find somebody that's maturing in the Lord and somebody that's growing in the Lord. No, they don't want to be mistreated, but they want to be lovingly led unto greater heights for the Lord Jesus Christ. How can I be more like Jesus? Pastor, how can I raise my kids for the honor and glory of God? How can I be a better wife? How can I be a better husband, a better grandma, a better grandpa? You see? Paul goes a little bit further with this exhortation. Notice what he says here in verse 17. He says, brethren, be followers together of me and what? And mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. Do you see that with me this morning? I kind of like the word mark because you know what? The word mark comes from a word that means scope. Scope, you know, like on your rifle, pointing at an elk and you miss. Okay? That kind of scope. Or you pull the rifle and the scope comes back and you get, oh boy, and blood's running down your face. You ever been scoped? It seems like that happens to me every year. It seemed like by now I'd learned something. But it comes from the word that means scope. So what's Paul saying? Paul says, I want you to scope it out. Not with a rifle pointing at people. I'm just, scope it out. Okay? Paul says, I want you to scope it out. And I want you to find someone who's been at it a while. Yeah, there's old brother Joe. He's been at it a while. He's so faithful. Oh, there's Mary. Man, she's always here. Big smile. Man, she's faithful. Yep, yep. God says, Paul says, scope it out. Find someone who's been at it about a while. Find someone who can encourage you in your walk. You notice what he says here. He says an example. He says right here in verse 17, so as ye have for an example, he says. The word example speaks of those who have set a pattern already. Yeah, the word example speaks of those who would give you a warning when you need it. Folks that will come alongside and help you to go the way that you just really need to go, okay? Someone says, you know what, that's dangerous, don't go there. You better watch out. Or somebody says, you know what, brother, I appreciate what you're doing. You're serving God. You're such a blessing to me and my family. Somebody who's willing to, yeah, tell you the truth and it might hurt and also to encourage you along the way. Someone says, well, I'll tell you what, it's dangerous to follow, man. And you know what? You're going to have men who will disappoint you. I've been in the ministry pastoring for almost 30 years. I have disappointed more people than I would even care to say. And it hurts. It's disappointing. You see? You know what? You're going to have ladies who are going to disappoint you at times. There's no doubt about it. There have been those in my life that I scoped out, that I marked. You know what? They hurt me. They disappointed me. But you know something? I cannot throw away the truth that I learned from them just because the devil came along and knocked him down. See what I'm saying? And some having compassion, what? Made a difference. God says, hey, scope some people. Mark them. Okay? Okay? Looking for folks who appropriate the Word of God in their everyday life. And God says, you find them and you mark them. Those who have been blessed of God and those who live for God. You know what the Bible says? Make no friendship with an angry man. Make no friendships with an angry man. Making, you know, we need to come to a place where we're making decisions to be around men and women who are loving, Men and women who are generous. Men and women who are faithful. Men and women who are witnesses for the honor and glory of God. Make that kind of a decision. You see, as iron sharpeth iron, so a friend sharpeneth the countenance of a friend. Hey, make sure the folks that you're hanging around aren't telling dirty jokes. Make sure the folks you're hanging around aren't gossips. Hey, make sure the folks that you're hanging around aren't negative. Okay? Make sure the folks you're hanging around, hey, these folks, they have pure hearts. They have pure motives. And you know something? They still believe that God is able to do great things. That's the kind of people you want to hang around. Mark those that can be an example to you, that can help you, that can be a blessing to you. It's not man worship. That's not what I'm saying. It's that we can all benefit from godly encouragement along the way. Follow the faithful. But I want you to notice something as we go on. Verses 18 and 19. Paul says you follow the faithful. Okay? Be concerned about that. But then he says in verse 18, for many walk of whom I have told you often, and I tell you again, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Yes, follow the faithful, but you better flee from the foes. You know what? As sure as there are men and women, as sure as there's young people, teenagers, that are faithful, they're a blessing, there are people who will take you the wrong way. Watch out, he says. I'm weeping. I'm telling you, there's this kind of people, he says. They're enemies of the cross. You better watch out. You see, a good guide knows an area. You know what? That guide doesn't want you to get hurt. Better watch out. I know there's just a real steep cliff right over there, so we're going to go around this way or whatever the case. Paul says, you know what? I want you to make it through the challenges, but I want to warn you, there are enemies of the cross, he says right there. They're not ministers of the cross. They're enemies of the cross. In fact, if you were to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, you'll see a cross reference there that will help us to understand why Paul was encouraging them to be careful. Even ministers can be transformed, you know, into the enemies of the cross. And Paul says, you better be careful. And by the way, Paul did not delight in telling the folks this. Mm-mm. In fact, it says right here that Paul wept, even weeping. Paul did not delight in telling them that these type of people even existed. And I believe it's true with your pastor as well. No pastor with a loving heart delights in the fact of exposing false teachers. Okay? No pastor delights in speaking about some trend that needs to be avoided. Paul says, even weeping, I've warned you, I'm telling you about these people who will pull you away. You see, Paul was doing what a good, loving pastor would do. I tell you, he was just setting the record straight. And a good, loving pastor will do that, just like your pastor. In fact, there are some theologians that actually believe that some of these folks that were causing these problems were right there in the body of Christ, right there in the church. Folks who were coming around and saying, you know what? You got to just come out of that and come into our way of thinking. And Paul says, you know what? I'm weeping that I even have to tell you this. It's not easy. But you know what? You need to mark those that are still going the way that we have taught you in Christ, Paul says. You need to follow them. You need to follow their example. But along the way, you better be careful. Those who are the enemies of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, those who will pull you away from the truth, from the gospel. Hey, look what it says here in verse 19. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. Can I tell you something this morning? If you've been around very long, you know this to be true, and that is, listen, nobody wants to backslide alone. Yeah. Nobody wants to apostatize alone. Normally, when somebody begins to fall back or somebody turns away from the truth, guess what? They're going to find comfort in finding somebody else to do it with them. You see? And so Paul says in verse 19, their end is destruction. That was like a bomb sound, you know. A little sound effect for those that might be. I throw those in every once in a while. Okay. And so we see here that their end is destruction. You see, when someone backslides, when someone turns from the gospel, the Bible says their end is destruction. Think about that. I'll tell you what. I mean, it's not going to help their family. Dad just decides to backslide. I'm not going to church anymore, you know. Teenager says, forget it, goes his own way, starts doing his own thing, wife, whatever. Their end is destruction. It's not going to help their family. It's not going to help them when they stand before the Lord if they're saved and know something else. It's not going to help them if they're not saved and they're burning in hell because they rejected the gospel or the ways of God. A false teacher is not going to help you get to where you need to be. No. The exploits of these false teachers, my friend, are very dangerous. And the Apostle Paul is warning them. And he's saying, what? Listen. They are minding after earthly things, it says there in that verse. Let me just ask this church a question. It's probably, I know the answer, but just for thinking, okay? I wonder, how would you describe a strong church? I mean, how would you describe what is really important about a church? May I submit to you that the number one issue in the church is what does that church believe about Jesus Christ? Number one. Can I submit to you this morning that the infallibility of the Word of God be considered? Can I submit to you this morning that when you consider church, that doctrine be taught? May I submit to you that preaching should be foundational? I mean, think about this. All of this is so much more important than what color the carpet ought to be. Amen? And when someone begins to minimize the core doctrines of Christ, as we see right here in our passage, and begins to pull someone away because somewhere else seems more comfortable or more stylish, they are missing the main thing. And the main thing is that we do what? Exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, like in that wonderful choir number this morning. Paul said, flee from that fold that would lead you away from the truth of Jesus Christ. So therefore, what are we going to do? Well, let's go on. Verse 20, he says, for our conversation is in heaven, for whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So what does Paul say? You got to love this. So therefore, what does he say? Make sure that you're focused on the future. Hey, Jesus is coming again. Don't get weary in well-doing. Don't get pulled away. Be careful to fall. Follow the example. Do right till the stars fall. Hang in there. Okay? I mean, there are times, and you know this, there are times when you're on this walk and it's called the Christian life, and sometimes it's uphill, isn't it? Uphill, 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 uphill. Sometimes it's rugged, and sometimes we fall, don't we? And the Bible says, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, but the Lord upholdeth him with his right hand. Amen to that. You see? And by the way, we just need to get up and keep on keeping on. Okay? Just get up and keep on. You know, I'm saying it's not just a Sunday walk, the Christian life. That's what I'm saying this morning. And you know that. Christian, the walk can be challenging in the Christian life. Okay? I mean, there are difficulties along the way. There's no doubt about it. I mean, think about the church at Philippi with me quickly this morning. They understood that. I mean, the Apostle Paul's in prison for preaching the gospel. Their faith is under attack, the church at Philippi. They live in a Roman city. They are being hyper-taxed. Hyper-taxed, that sounds familiar. Okay? I mean, Paul's trying to encourage them through this. Hey, stay in the saddle. Hey, don't quit. Don't jump ship. Hang in there. Jesus is coming again. Okay? Keep looking for our Savior who is coming, he says there, for our conversation is in heaven, not here. Okay, hang in there. Keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how he closes this chapter. He says, you know what? I want to encourage you. I want to remind you that our citizenship really isn't here in Philippi. So be looking what? For the Lord. Keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes when our kids or our teenagers are struggling a bit, and sometimes, my friend, when you're tired of the job, and sometimes when you're going through difficult times in our lives, it's very easy to look around at all the debris. It's very easy to look around at all the problems. It's very easy to list my problems instead of count my blessings and name them one by one. It's very easy, isn't it? Okay? And Paul says, wait a minute, wait a minute. Paul says, remember, remember, Jesus is coming again. Keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul says in verses 20 and 21, focus on heavenly things. Focus on the Lord. Set your affection on things above. This word conversation here, in fact, in chapter 1, verse 27, the word conversation is found again in a different context. Usually the word conversation has the idea, it speaks of our conduct. But in this particular verse here, it's a little bit different. Here it means our citizenship. When he says there in verse 24, our conversation is in heaven, he's saying our citizenship is in heaven. Would you just try to get hold of that with me this morning, just for a minute? He says, you know what? I want to remind you, as you're on this journey in Philippi, let's break it down. Hey, as you're on this journey in Elko, okay, try to get hold of this, he says, as you're on this journey, that really our citizenship's not here in Philippi. You know, really your citizenship's not here in Elko. Our citizenship is up there. Amen, brother, thank you. And from whence, the Bible says, we look for the Savior. Our citizenship's up there in heaven for where we're looking for the Savior, the Bible says. And you know what? He says, you know, that's important for you on these hot, difficult days here in Philippi, Paul says. This is important for you when those Roman soldiers are coming along and hauling you into prison because you're a Christ follower. Paul says, hey, this is important for you when your families are shunning you because you're a Christian. Paul said, this is important for you to remember this now that some of your friends are turning away from Jesus Christ and now they're following weird doctrines, and not only that, some of them are just backsliding and turning their backs on God. Paul says, with all of that going on, would you remember something? Would you just look up? Jesus is coming again. That's what he says. We're not citizens of Rome, folks. Please remember that. We're citizens of heaven. You see, my friend, when I accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, guess what? My name was written down. Glory to God. My name was written down. Ted York. If you're born again and saved, your name was written down. Okay? And I want you to know my citizenship was firmly affixed in heaven. And so I'm telling you today, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Amen? You see? You know what? I love America. I've had opportunity to travel overseas. I've been to China, some other places. And I'll tell you, I love America. I thank God for our country. I thank God for those who serve our country. I want to do what I can to make this a better country, but I've got to tell you something. This is all temporary. You know, I'm going hunting next week, Lord willing. I can't wait. Go up in them mountains again, you see. But this is all temporary, my friend. It's all temporary, okay? And you say, oh, Pastor, I'll tell you, sometimes I look and the neighborhood is not what I wanted it to be. And Pastor, sometimes I look and the job is just not what I thought it would be. It's not what I want it to be. Please remember this morning, we are investing our lives into the eternal here at the Grace Baptist Church in Elko, Nevada. And sometimes we can forget that way too quickly. I do. It's not about the neighborhood. It's not about the job. It's about the fact that this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. That's what it's about. When you go to Hebrews chapter, we're going to take time. Go there. Hebrews chapter 11. I'll be done in another hour. Okay, Hebrews chapter 11. Oh, good. Some folks were listening. Okay. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing where he was going. And he says in verse 9, by faith he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Then verse 10, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You got to love it. You see, it was by faith that Abraham stepped out, the Bible says. It was by faith that he followed God and looked for that city. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things of this earth. So this week, guess what? You're going to go out and you're going to do the things that you need to do. You will. You're going to clean up around the house or whatever. You're going to do the chores that's required of you. But may we always do it all, my friend, to the glory of God with eternity in mind. Look for Jesus. We're citizens of heaven. If you're saved and born again, this was a challenge. And Paul says, you know, I want you to focus on heavenly things. He says, I want you to focus on the fact that one day we're going to be like him, verse 21. You saw that in our text right there. We shall change our vile bodies and so forth, it says there in verse 21. Okay? We know from the Scriptures that we are to be anticipating the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We already know from Scripture the Lord Jesus Christ will come. He will ascend from heaven with a shout. We know about the last trumpet and the moment of the twinkling of the eye that we will be changed. We believe in this church this morning in the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're anticipating the day that we're going to see Jesus and be like Him in the sense of a glorified body, verse 21. So my friend, you ought to just stop right now and thank God you're saved. Yeah, you ought to just stop right now and thank God you're saved, amen. Yeah, saved. It's kind of like, amen, I'm saved, that's right. I've been washed in the blood, I'm born again. My sins have been forgiven. Oh, amazing grace, how sweet the sound of saved a wretch like me. Me? Not the person sitting next to me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound of saved that wretch sitting right there. Yeah, it's me. That's what the songwriter said, isn't it? We're saved, we're born again, okay? We have hope in a coming Savior. Exchanging a sin-cursed body for a glorified body, what a joy it is to focus on the future. So this morning, would you listen to the Apostle Paul with me, who said to the church at Philippi, hey, I know it's tough. I know it's hard. Follow me. Paul says, I'm not trying to replace God. I'm not trying to replace Jesus, the Holy Spirit. I'm not trying to replace the Bible. I'm not doing that at all. But would you follow me as I followed Christ? Let's get through this, he said. But he said, on the way, you better watch out for those foes out there who are trying to pull you away, those false teachers and those backsliders. You better watch out. You better be careful. And you need to remember as we go on this journey, hey, focus on the future. Keep looking up. Jesus is coming again. And you know something? When Jesus comes again, even though our bodies hurt right now, right down here in Nevada, remember, our citizenship is in heaven. Our bodies hurt right now and our feelings have been hurt right now, but all that's going to be changed in the moment of a twinkling of an eye. Don't forget that, Paul says. Don't forget that. Hang in there. Don't quit. In our Christian school, for 20 years, I taught junior high and high school history, one of the many subjects that I taught. I like history. And I want to just close with a great story concerning Douglas MacArthur, who I think is a great American, a great man of God, wonderful testimony. Well, Douglas MacArthur was one of the greatest military leaders in American history, I believe. And so on the Pacific Front, during World War II, of course, he spent a lot of time in the Philippines. And as you know, he and his soldiers fought valiantly. Many died bringing freedom and liberation to all those islands, you know, from the Japanese. And on one occasion during World War II, it was necessary for General MacArthur to make his command for the Pacific from Australia. He had to lead the Philippines. Rather than be in the Philippines, he had to go to Australia for his safety. He placed a general to watch over the Bay of Manila. This man's name was General Wayne Wright. General Wayne Wright was a courageous man. What a man he was. He valiantly, of course, fought for our country, but on a terrible day, right toward the end of the war, he was taken captive by the Japanese. And they took him to a Rock Island prison camp known as Corregidor. Okay, it was on that island that the Japanese, of course, would abuse and they would torture our POWs, you're aware of that, in many different ways. I mean, it was just terrible. Even the General Wayne Wright, was treated with contempt. In fact, many days with no food and he was beaten many times, often daily, and he was humiliated. I mean humiliated in a various ways. Month after month, this contempt. The Japanese would not only perform physical torture on our men, but we find that they also continued in this psychological warfare as well. They would tell General Wayne Wright, the U.S. was diminishing. They would tell him the soldiers were discouraged. They would tell Wayne Wright, MacArthur doesn't care about you. He's down there in Australia. He didn't care about you at all. The Japanese began to spread in the mind of our men and General Wayne Wright that there was just no hope. You're losing. Okay, you're not on the winning side. There's just really no reasoning for living. You might as well just give it up. In fact, Wainwright says that he became very discouraged. He quit shaving, quit brushing his teeth. He quit exercising. He began to refuse to eat what food they gave him. And he began listening to his foes who were telling him it's not worth it. Might as well just give it up. You're losing. But the truth is, General MacArthur had not forgotten about Wayne Wright. He had not forgotten about General Wayne Wright. So he knew Wayne Wright was in this POW camp on Corregidor. MacArthur put together a group of men. This is awesome. Maybe a SEAL 6 team or something like that. I don't know. And General MacArthur wanted them to get to Wainwright, not to get him out, but to get some news to him that MacArthur is coming. The Americans are winning. And the war is almost over. So it was. A few brave men, they swam in and under the sea, and they climbed that rock wall, and they found the place where Wainwright was, and simply said, "General Wainwright, General Wainwright, MacArthur sent us just to tell you that we're about to win the war. He wanted you to know that he hasn't forgot you. He wanted you to know that soon you would be set free." Wainwright was startled by the news. Okay? I mean, he was encouraged by the news, so he rose up the next morning. He did what he could with what he had to shave himself. He began to brush his teeth. He did what he could to make himself presentable. He found a few buttons. He put them on his jacket. He got his medals back again and started attaching them. When his captors came around with breakfast, he said, "Oh, I'll take my breakfast today." And he began to eat. He began to exercise, and he began to refurbish himself. And it wasn't long, just like MacArthur said, that he came, and the war was over. The war was won, and this wonderful man, Wainwright, was truly liberated from his prison. When Wainwright saw MacArthur face to face, they held each other. They held each other, and they thanked God that Wainwright was all right. MacArthur had noticed that Wainwright had lost some weight. He had noticed that he was a little wobbly on his feet. But as they embraced each other, they just prayed and thanked God that he was all right. What I'm simply saying, my friend, this morning, if you are not careful, when your backsliding friends come along and they ridicule you or mock you, when the devil just jumps on your shoulder and says, "You know what, you're not winning. You're a failure as a Christian." And you know something, your children aren't turning right out either. They're not turning right, turning out right either. I mean, you're tithing and you're still unemployed. Or the devil says, "It's just not worth coming to church on Sunday night. It's not worth getting your kids to youth group. It's not worth it, not at all." Can I tell you, in closing today, that the Word of God tells us, my friend, that the Word of God tells us that Jesus is coming again. We are on the winning side. Don't quit. Don't quit. Keep on looking up. Keep living for Jesus. You say, "Why? Why should I keep living for Jesus, my friend?" Because he's coming soon, and when he does, you'll be glad that you're still living for him. And when he does, you'll still be glad that you're trying. You'll be glad that you're still trusting in him. Shake off that discouragement, and like one man said, do right till the stars fall. And you know something? I'll be found serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says, working whereby, the last part of verse 21, he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. What a day that will be when Jesus I shall see.